Let's talk about trickle truth and betrayal trauma. Most people think that cheating or infidelity is the main trauma. A lot of the time, it isn't. A lot of the times, the worst trauma is actually what happens after the initial discovery, when the truth doesn't come out cleanly, but it comes out in fragments. A little bit today, a couple more details a couple weeks from now, another admission 2 months later, another I didn't tell you because I didn't want to hurt you. That's what people call trickle truth. Trickle truth is not merely a subpar communication style, and it is not to be equated with someone struggling to open up. It is, first and foremost, an ongoing destabilization of the betrayed partner's reality. Because every time a new detail comes out, it doesn't feel like it's just going back to the original betrayal. It feels like a new betrayal each time. A new discovery, a new collapse, a new day where the floor gives out underneath you yet again. And so now you don't just have one D-day that you look back on. There's multiple, and oftentimes the second and third, etc., are even worse. If you've been through that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It might confuse you if you haven't. You might be thinking, well, how could the second disclosure be worse? You already knew that there was cheating. It's because by that point, it's not about the cheating. It's about the fact that your partner has now shown you that they are willing to watch you suffer. They're willing to withhold truth, and they're willing to do this while they're watching you try to rebuild, all the while keeping something in their back pocket that they know will destabilize everything all over again. The infidelity, the betrayal, the initial hiding of it, that all says, my partner betrayed me. But now, after multiple instances of hiding and trickle-truthing, the message becomes, my partner can look me in the eyes while I am trying to recover and still not tell me the truth, which is a much darker thing. And trickle truth is traumatic, because trauma is not just about pain, it's about unpredictability, loss of control, and the inability to know when the next wave is coming. It conditions the betrayed partner into this state of permanent anticipation. They start living like there's always another bomb in the room set to go off. And it doesn't matter if it's been 2 months, 2 weeks, 2 days, for some severe cases, even 2 years. If there's been enough trickle-truthing in the past, it can still feel like any day now, something is going to erupt. And it's not always in response to a particular red flag or strange behavior that they're now seeing in their partner. It could be completely internal. Their body is scanning, their mind is scanning, questions are popping up. And it's not just they're trying to understand what happened in the past, they're trying to anticipate what's coming in the future. And once that pattern gets put in place, the betrayed partner often gets stuck with compulsive questioning. And it's often very reasonable why they do this. A lot of times, the questioning is what's gotten the truth out of their partner. And so now they're thinking, well, if there's more truth, I just have to go back to this crazy question cycle. It makes me feel crazy, it drives my partner crazy, but it's the only thing that seems to be getting me to the truth. And now they've started to believe that the truth doesn't arrive voluntarily. The truth only arrives when I pull hard enough. So they keep pulling. And they feel like they can't relax, because if they relax, they're not putting in the effort to get to the truth, and so there could just be another bomb waiting to go off that they're going to be completely ignorant of. And this gets really messy really fast, because the mind actually starts to associate pain with progress. Every horrible detail that comes out feels like hell. But it also brought them closer to reality. So now there's this weird twisted conditioning where pain and truth feels preferable to false comfort. So it's not that they actually enjoy pain, but they feel more at home in it because they're terrified of any kind of false peace. Pain at least has the feeling of truth and honesty behind it, but it's also what can keep you stuck in pain for so long. Now, in a relationship where there's been a lot of trickle truth, I just want to say that the first heart-to-heart that a couple typically has usually means almost nothing. One of the dumbest mistakes that people can make in their affair recovery is having one long emotional conversation after the discovery, and then decide that because tears were shed, because vulnerability was shown, because apologies were made, because some admissions happened, that now the full truth must be on the table. No, absolutely not. And it's not your fault, but by the betrayed partner putting their guard down, after that initial heart-to-heart. That's often what leaves them vulnerable to being re-traumatized by trickle-truthing later. Because the betrayed partner thinks, we finally had the real conversation, they finally opened up, I think this was the full story, finally. That's what makes the next amount of information that they get that much more painful. But I want you to understand that that's not a reasonable thing to expect the unfaithful partner to do right now. Not because they shouldn't, they absolutely should be fully honest. But think about it. If someone has been cheating, that means they've gotten into the habit of lying. It's not just sexual or rational betrayal. They've spent weeks, months, sometimes years practicing compartmentalizing things, distorting things, managing their image, omitting important details, minimizing things, and directly lying to people's faces. People don't instantly flip a switch and stop living a double life overnight. You need to understand that. You need to also not justify it, which is an incredibly difficult tightrope walk to balance. What is often happening is that the unfaithful partner is doing just enough of honesty to let pressure out of the situation. They're being vulnerable enough to convince you they're being honest, but they're fundamentally still in image management mode. They're still trying to figure out how can I make the best out of this instead of just fully breaking down themselves and going past all that ego, being willing to expose fully how much of a fool and how low moral integrity they've had. They still are wanting to image manage even when they're not realizing they're doing it. So please do not try to rebuild safety out of one intense conversation. Don't think that you can feel safe just because there were some tears or just because you can tell that there's some guilt and shame. And don't rebuild safety just out of this idea of, well, they seem sincere. Safety is rebuilt through patterns. Safety comes from consistency. It is never one moment. It is moments, continuously, over time. Moments are easy. Being congruent is much harder. If you are the betrayed partner and you're working toward reconciliation, the first thing you need to understand is that there is a very real chance that more information is coming. That doesn't mean you need to become paranoid or start interrogating every breath they take. It just means don't be lulled into a false sense of safety prematurely. It means resist the temptation of telling yourself a comforting story that you don't have evidence for yet. And to other people, that can look stupid, like why would you believe them so fast? It's because you're looking for a stable reality. But don't grab onto the first thing that you can find. You have to fight that impulse. And it does make sense to keep asking for the truth in times and ways that make sense, not constantly, but in structured ways. But you also have to be careful not to be unconsciously hunting for pain. Like I mentioned earlier, you can start to associate pain with progress. So sometimes you start asking for details that really don't give any new significant information, but it's just sort of designed the way that you framed it and the angle that you're looking at things just to hurt yourself. It's a sort of informational self-harm in a way. Because some of those details will just turn into intrusive imagery. Some details will just deepen the humiliation. So you need to ask yourself if it actually creates any additional clarity into who they were or in what you're going to do. And if the answer is no, it's probably not necessary. Focus on what happened, what was hidden, what was the actual pattern, what were their motivations and justifications, what does this reveal about who this person has been, what does this mean for safety moving forward? That is the level of truth that you need. Not pornographic detail, not looking and hunting for pain, just the truth. And if you're the unfaithful partner, you need to understand that simply trying to be honest is not enough. That standard is way too low. You likely are being more truthful than you were in the past, but that bar was in hell. You need to take a massive step forward in how truthful you are trying to be. And to be a bit more clear, you need to stop poisoning the other person's reality with the trickle-truthing. It's not a minor mistake. It is one of the biggest things that destroys the possibility of recovery. And you might be thinking to yourself that you have good intentions. You might also be deceiving yourself, but you might be saying things like, well, I'm just pacing the truth so I don't overwhelm them, or I'm trying not to hurt them more, or I'm sharing what they can handle, or I just need time to process this myself. And again, sometimes there are small grains of truth in those ideas, but most of the time, what is actually happening is much uglier. You're still in this mindset of trying to control consequences, preserve your image, reduce your own shame, and stay in control of the narrative. And every time you do that, and then more truth comes out later, you just end up re-traumatizing them. So I'm going to say, if you're going to repair anything, do not take a halfway approach to honesty. Now, that doesn't mean that you should impulsively dump disorganized, chaotic disclosures in the middle of a fight just to say that you're being transparent. You also need to not treat it as your confession, you know, like you're in a confessional in a Catholic church, looking for the absolving of your sins and the dealing with your shame. It needs to just be a matter of fact, all the cards on the table, getting the full scope of what happened out into the open, doing it coherently. And if, for whatever reason, you can't or refuse to do that, then be honest at least about that. You could say something like, there is more than what I've shared. I don't want to keep disclosing this in fragments because I know how much that hurts you and hurts us. I need a little time to organize the full truth so I can be truthful and careful at the same time. And so this is the day in the next couple days, at most couple weeks, when I will sit down with you and share everything that happened. And if you still need more time than that, I would recommend separation other than continuing to stay together while withholding information. Because fake repair is so psychologically damaging at this point. And I will say, full honesty does require courage at this point. And you might want credit for not lying anymore. But if you've been living deceptively, you're kind of in a negative balance when it comes to telling the truth. Honesty is not just an ethical choice at this point. It is a transition that you have to make if you want any chance of this working. And so the unfaithful partner needs to get into the mindset of admitting to everything, abandoning your image, tolerating being seen accurately, tolerating being seen and perhaps being perceived as worse than you felt like you were in the moment, tolerating consequences you don't want, and letting go of the fantasy both of the affair and of the delusion that you could manage all of this in a way that would preserve both truth and comfort. You already wrecked things. Now it's time to start there, in the wreckage. So when the truth is getting disclosed, both people need to understand what the conversation is for. It's not for resolution. It's not for forgiveness. It's not for processing every emotion in real time. And it's not for deciding the future of the relationship in that conversation. It's for one thing: getting reality on the table. And because that is the goal, the conversation needs structure and rules. It needs to take place not in the middle of a screaming match, and not with the threat of either partner storming out in the middle. You sit down intentionally, and if a third party is needed because every attempt that you've made turns into chaos, that's fine. It's necessary only when the two of you have proven that you're so reactive to each other that you can't even get the exact details of what happened out on the table. And for the betrayed partner, your mindset during this should be, this is not my time to process this. This is not my time to get them to feel how much pain they caused me. This is just my time to understand the facts. So you don't become emotionless. That's impossible. But it does mean that you resist the urge to explore every possible angle of, well, why did you do that? And how dare you? It's really the how dare you sentiment that you need to really hold back on. You're there to gather facts, to understand the shape of the deception, the pattern, the logic, the motivations, the timelines, the omissions. Because think of the alternative. What would it be like to try to both gather facts, express rage, process grief, understand motivations, question those motivations, seek reassurance, decide whether or not to stay, and start rebuilding trust all at the same time? That's impossible. It's insane. And that's why it often goes so badly. You're trying to do too much at once. So feel free to separate them out. So my suggestion is that after disclosure happens, stop the conversation. Don't force yourself to solve the things that came up that night. End it on a comforting note of some kind or another, but don't force closure Don't force understanding. Just let the truth and the reality of it all land first. And for the betrayed partner, I recommend having a plan in action for after you've sat there and absorbed that whole story. Don't sit there and keep picking at it for longer. Your nervous system has just been hit. Even if the conversation went well, it can still be a lot on you. So what you want to do is just focus on grounding yourself. Go for a walk, get outside, drink water, feel free to just sit in silence. What I recommend is be around someone safe, go to a sibling's house or a friend's house, talk to a friend on the phone, have someone simply be with you, talk about anything other than this. You can talk about it a little bit, but again, if you're going to try to emotionally resolve all of it at the same time, that's just a lot. What I see the point of this post-disclosure spending time with someone to be is that you're reminding your body and your mind that there is still safety in the world. This person is safe, even if that person isn't. Later on, you can begin to process things more. And I'd recommend starting a bit more intellectually, writing down your version of events, the timeline, what happened, what was hidden, what was the pattern, what did you learn? But give it at least a day before you do that. And I want to be quite direct on what rebuilding trust actually is dependent on. It's not about crying or feeling bad or answering questions one time. Trust has the chance to be rebuilt when the truth stops changing. So if you think of your marriage as this coming together of two people in a room, the truth being unchanging is the floor that you're standing on. So how can two people possibly work to getting to know each other and falling in love again and forgiving each other if the very foundation they're standing on keeps shifting? That's why trickle truth is so dangerous. It's not just the pain, it's the destabilizing effect of it. And then if that reality is unstable, trust is impossible. And then one more thing I want to make very clear is that if you're in the situation where you have been on the receiving end of trickle truth, at some point you have to ask yourself, is this the truth? Kind of taking a step back, looking at the partner. You may not know the full story. You may not know what happened then, but you are able to take a step back and look now at the dynamic that is currently existing, which is that your partner cheated on you in the past, knew that would cause you pain, and they did it anyway. Now, they're seeing the effects of the trickle truthing. They're seeing how much damage it's causing you now, and they're still doing it anyway. They're not listening to you when you're telling them how much you need them to just be fully honest. They're not listening to you when it comes to how they can best support you in your own recovery. Those are facts, just as much as the things they're trickling out are facts. And these facts about how they're treating things at this higher level are the patterns that you're looking for. And so you might not have the specific truths from the past that would make the relationship more stable available to you, but you do have these facts about how they're treating you now. And if they're not willing to give you those facts in the past, you're going to have to settle for these facts in the present and make your decision based on that, even though it's probably not the one that you want to make. I think it should be obvious, trickle truth is not just a side issue in betrayal recovery. It's one of the central reasons people don't heal. It is not a revelation of betrayal, it is betrayal. It trains the betrayed partner to live in anticipation. It makes questioning compulsive. It makes pain feel safer than comfort. It destroys any meaningful repair that has happened. And it teaches someone's nervous system that collapse can happen at any moment. So if you are the betrayed partner, stop rebuilding trust too quickly. If you're the unfaithful partner, stop it. You're not fixing anything. You're not protecting anything. You're just causing more damage. If healing is going to happen, that cycle has to end. The unfaithful partner can make it end by simply being honest, and the betrayed partner can make it end by choosing to end things.